was last week discussing the role of Dibur. Not to be too much of it today, but okay. The role of Dibur as relates to the fulfillment of mitzvahs. Now we move on to the role of Dibur in the realm of chalosim, in the realm of creating halachic changes. What role does Dibur have? So here the Gemara tells us in Masechet Shavuos that there's a whole series of halachos that revolve around Dibur, that require Dibur, and if a person just merely thinks something, so that doesn't take effect in halacha. Well, the example that the Gemara begins with is the halachos of Shavuos, that if a person wants to take a Shavua, he wants to take a voluntary swear, he wants to swear he's not going to eat any bread, he wants to swear he's not going to eat any fruit. So he wants to take a Shavua, so the Gemara raises the question, must he actually verbalize the Shavua, or is it enough for him just to think that he's going to take a Shavua? So the Gemara derives from a pasuk, v'chol ha-she-yivati adam v'tebus v'sayim, that the Torah in Parshas V'yikra speaks about bitus v'sayim, that you have to pronounce the Shavua with your lips. If you just go and believe, oh, that's not sufficient. So the context of that Gemara is in the realm of Shavuos. The Rishonim explained that this carries over to Masechas Nedarim as well. There is a fundamental difference between Nedarim and Shavuos. Shavuos means that the person says he is not going to do something, or he says he is going to do something, that halacha revolves around the gavra. A neder is very different. A neder means that this object, let's say this bread, will be also to him, or this fruit will be also to him. The object becomes the main center of attraction. So the Gemara in the beginning of Masechas Nedarim highlights that a neder is what we call an isachefta, and a shvuah is what we call an isagavra. We usually think that gavra and chefta is a chayv. So the Gemara says beferish. The Gemara, in the context of the Dharma and shvuahs, spells out there's a difference between a neder and a shvuah. Shvuah is when I say I am going to do X, Y, and Z. A neder means that the following object should be also to me. So the Gemara is not explicit that Nedarim require Bitus Vasayim. The Rishonim will say that it's true. The Rishonim say that Nedarim and Shavuos always go hand in hand. The Gemara has many, many dinim that compare the two. And this is one of those dinim, that if a person has in mind that this bread should be also to him, he has in mind that this fruit should be also to him, so then that's meaningless. That doesn't take effect. Just as a Shavuot requires Bitus Vasayim, requires Dibur, so to a Nedar requires Dibur. Then the halacha continues. Not only does a shvur require bitus v'sayim, not only does a neder require bitus v'sayim, a nazirus also requires bitus v'sayim. When a person decides he wants to be a nazir, so he could think about that. He has a grandiose plan to be a nazir from day to tomorrow. It doesn't mean anything. He has to be motzi bitus v'sayim. Again, we have all these different areas of halacha that require dibur, all the indefinite pasuk levat bitus v'sayim. So the first mishnah in Maseches Nedarim as a chiddush about these halachas of dibur, that the standards of dibur that are necessary for the darim and shuas and nazirus, etc., to take effect, are somewhat watered down. Now, let's say when a person wants to take a shua, he wants to take a neder, he doesn't have to say the entire phrase. He doesn't have to say hareni nasir. He doesn't have to say from beginning to end. Even if he says something which is the beginning of a statement, with the Gemara, with the Mishnah calls a yad is a handle. When you hold on to a pot, so you don't have to hold on to the pot itself. You can hold on to the handle of the pot. So the Mishnah says, if a person just starts off the phrase, so that's also considered to be a dibur that's sufficient for the zeros, for the darbish, etc. That's what's called in halacha a yad. The only thing is that the yad has to be what's called the yad mochiach, it's actually mochiach in the Gemara. There has to be some degree of certainty when I hear the person saying the word at the beginning of the statement. So if it's clear from the context what he means, then the Torah says that the statement continues. That's the famous Gemara in the beginning of Kedushin, has the following discussion. Let's say a person says, Hareini. Guy walks in and says, hey, I'll be. You'll be what? Means you're going to be fast tainus today. The Gemara says hareini betainus. Hareini knows that the word hareini is unclear. But if the person standing there and playing with his hair and he's saying hareini, hareini. So then it's obvious from the context that it means hareini nazir. Well, the Gemara says, let's say there's a nazir standing in front of him. He's looking at the nazir and he says look at you hareini. But he didn't say hareini nazir. But he said hareini and everybody sees the nazir in front of you. Everybody knows what the person's intent is. So that's called the yad mochiach. And that would be sufficient. So even though the Torah requires a dibur, the level of dibur is not at 100%. Doesn't mean you have to say the full sentence. As long as you say, well, when you begin the sentence, you start off, you have a yad, then it continues by itself. So the Gemara derives from Sukkim that there is such a concept of yados in the realm of Nedarim, Zeros, Shavuos, etc. Then the Mishnah has another chiddush about the dibur that's necessary for the Nedarim, Shavuos, and the Zeros. Does the dibur have to be
in a full-fledged language? Does it have to be a word that has an official Webster's dictionary? So the Mishnah says no. The Mishnah says kol kinuya nidarim kinidarim. Any time that a person says a kinoi, kinoi is like a nickname. Any time a person says a nickname for a neder, a shmur, a zirus, that's also considered to be chal. So even though according to perfect rules of language, you didn't actually say anything, the word that you said was gibberish, it doesn't matter. Kol kinoi nidarim kinidarim as well. What's an example of kinoi nidarim? So the Mishnah says a koinam, the lashon koinam. What does koinam mean? He said in koinam, what do the words mean? What does it translate to mean? So the Mishnah says that koinam is a kinoi for carbon. Carbon is the usual lashon for neder. A person would say that this fruit should be a korban unto him. So instead of saying the word korban, he says the fruit should be a konam unto him. So the word konam is the substitute word for a korban. So even though the halacha requires the ini dibur, machshava is not good enough. This qualifies as dibur based on the din of kol kitin yadarim kitadarim. Where did this din come from? What kind of din is that? So that's a machlaikis and maroyim. In the beginning of Masechus Nedarim, everybody agrees that there's such a din. It's in the Farish of Mishnah. What's the source of this din is a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish says that the lashonus of konamos and the lashonus of kinuyim, all those strange lashonus that are acceptable in Masechus Nedarim, well, lashonus shebadal ham chachamim, that the chachamim made up these lashonus. And Chazal decided to teach people to say these words. And you want to take a net there, so don't say the word korban, say the word konam. Why is that? Because Chazal were afraid that if a person says the word korban, he may say the Shem Hashem. He may say korban Hashem, like in yesterday's Pasha. Sorry, Hashem. He's going to scream out korban Hashem. And we try to encourage people not to say the Shem Shemayim Levatollah. So therefore, to get people out of the mindset of saying the word korban, that's too holy word. So Chazal instituted you should use the word konam instead of the word korban. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, Rabbi Yochanan says that the word konam was not instituted by the Chachamim. It became slang that the umos, that the different people, when you started to use that word, that wasn't pure Lashon HaKodesh. It was the slang of the street of the word korban. It wasn't that there was an official tzairich, an official tachanas chachamim to say konam, not say korban. That's just the way speaking habits developed, that people started to use it to change the words konam for korban. So, who cares whether konam was instituted officially by the Chachamim or whether konam is a lashon that the people themselves took upon themselves? So the Ran, in the beginning of Masechus Nedarim, raises a question, maybe the Chatan Afkamina, whether the neder is chamin at Torah, it's only chamin at Rabbanan. Because after all, the starting point of the halacha is that you need bikis v'sayim. You have to express it with words. So words have to, if I take a lashon neder, I'll say, instead of saying, this fruit should be awesome to me, I say something which is bizarre, which doesn't have any meaning, which doesn't correspond to that thought. So that's not a bikis v'sayim. So if I say the word konam, and the word konam doesn't really mean anything in the Torah, it was instituted by the Chacham at a later date in history. How can that neder be a neder min haTorah? And the Ran quotes the possibility that if the word konam was mamsh made up word, it doesn't really exist, it's not part of any given language, so then maybe the whole neder is on the midrabanan. Don't take this thing out of the konidre, that one's on the midrabanan. That's the Ran quotes the possibility. Whereas if Rabbi Yechon is right, that it's official language, it's a slang of that language, but people are speaking it, so that would be a neder min haTorah. So the Ran quotes such a possibility and rejects it. The Ran says that even if you hold that konamus, that kinuyim, are only instituted by the Chachamim, they still take on the status of a neder midaraisa. Why is that? So says the Ran, what defines a language? How do you know whether something is called a word or not? So here the Torah says, L'chol ha-shevatim b'shvasayim, you have to speak, you have to say words. If a guy just gets up and he has in mind that the fruit should be hasar, and he says the fruit should be a table. So he says the fruit should be a house. So he didn't say anything. Okay, what he had in mind? There wasn't a bitis v'sayim. So what makes a word a word? So I have to speak to the experts in developing language. What makes a word? What makes language? So the answer is lefidas v'yadam, because whatever the oilam perceives to be the meaning of a word. Why does a house mean a house, and why does a table mean a table? Because if you ask 99.99% of the people, point to a house, they point to a house, point to a table. That's the way people use the word. So it's the usage of people that ultimately creates what words have any meaning. So says the Ran, that once the Chachamim say that the word Kona means Korban, so then that becomes the usage, because that's what people say. So why should the Ran has a funny lush and says, Lokei haskamas chazal garuami haskamas b'nei adam. The people are writing dictionaries, Webster's dictionaries, can determine what's called a word. because they're just telling you, not that Mr. Webster creates words. Mr. Webster is telling you that the Oilam is using the word, and so every year they add new words to the dictionary. How did that happen? Somebody sat down, decided to sell it. Here it is. They listen to people, they study people, they see people using these words. From here it's now becoming a word. So says Iran, who cares who initiated that process? What does it matter whether that process was initiated by regular people or whether it was initiated by the Chazal? Once the word has taken on in our understanding, our meaning, that meaning of a korban, that word becomes a dibur min haTorah, and therefore a kino will be a neder or shvur and a zirus even the deraisa. So the rule of dasar, the din is that you require dibur in these areas of halacha. There's no question about it. Machshav itself is not sufficient. If you take a neder the machshav, it's no good. If you take a zirus machshav, a shvur, they're not chal at all. Not in the Torah. The rabban, the mamish, nothing. But the definition of constant dibur is very, very watered down. It doesn't have to be an absolute clear cut statement of truth. It could be a yad, it could be the beginning of a statement, it could be a kino, it could be a slang, it could be a haskamas chazal, whatever the definition of kino is. All of the above would qualify as dibur, even in the area of halacha, of nedar, mezir, shvuos, where dibur is so critical. The Gemara in Pesach HaShavuos and Abchavlov tells us that there are certain areas where there's an exception to this rule. Certain areas of halacha which are very, very similar to Nedar, Mishavuos, and Nazirus, which involve basically a person taking a davar shel chol and making it into either like Kodesh, like in the realm of Nedarim, or a person making an obligation upon himself, or a person transforming himself to be a Nazir. There are two other areas of halacha which are almost the same concept, and yet here the Torah says they can be done by machshava. One is in the realm of korbanos, and one is in the realm of truma. The Gemara dashes from the pasuk that let's say a person goes out to his backyard and he's looking at his animal and he thinks to himself, that animal looks like a good animal for a korban. He thinks, I'm going to bring that animal to korban. He didn't say anything. And then 2 minutes later, he says, bad idea. I don't want to bring the animals on carbon. So the Gemara says, the Farish, that neder was chal, that requirement, that hektish that a person took to be lachish the animal, even though it's only b'machshava, the Gemara learns it out from the pasuk, because that's binding in HaTorah, but he has to bring that animal as a carbon. So even though, if he would have said, a shvua, he's not going to eat the meat of the animal, he would have taken a neder, that the meat of the animal should be also to him, that would not have been binding in machshava. But once he's makdish l'shamayim, he wants to bring it as a carbon, so that's considered to be binding even with their eyes. Then the Gemara has a similar thing when it comes to a precious truma. The Torah says, v'nechshem l'chem trumaschem. So truma is nitalas from machshava, that a person need not declare that this is truma. He can just have in mind, he's looking at the fruit, and he's, now that side of the fruit should be truma. That apple over there should be truma. Even though he didn't actually say it's a truma, that would be binding with the Torah as well. Let's say this halacha carries over to challah also. Challah is also challah terumah truma, has a dinim of truma. So let's say a woman's baking a dough, so she takes a piece of the dough, puts it aside. She never said a raise a challah, but she had it in mind. This is challah, having a mind, this challah. And then she forgot to say a raise a challah, so the ikra din, that would be challah. No put it in. Unless she was planning on saying, if any achorim right, that b'medvam amurim, that truma and kachem machal machshava. That's if you weren't planning on speaking. But if you were planning on speaking, you just didn't get around to it, maybe it wouldn't be chal. Let's say a woman's baking dough, and she's ready to be mafish chal. So she has in mind, yeah, it's going to be chal, so be chal. I'm about to make the bracha, I'm about to say, it's a chal. Then she gets distracted with a phone call, and so she forgets to be mafish the chal. So here, then the achorim write, the chal would not take effect, because that's not chal, and he tells from machshav, that's not hektish. Means that this was the hafrosh. I was planning on being and not actually saying it. I was planning on it being chav machshava, and it's chav machshava. Because man, that I was planning on speaking, so then the chalos is put on hold until I actually speak. Are there any other examples in halacha which are chav machshava besides the kachim and the truma which are derived from sukkim? So there is a big machlek in Zepelskim. What about tzedakah? Is tzedakah considered to be like hektish? Sometimes in Zepelskim we see that lingo, you know, it's like hektish laniyam. That's a phrase that we sometimes use. So how serious do we take that statement in terms of the dinim machshava? You know, the Torah tells us in Parashas Kesetze, there's mitzvah balta acher. When a person takes a neder to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to bring it as soon as you can. So at what point, what's called right away? So that's a machlekes HaTorah. We pass it, it's only within the Shalosh Regalim. normally Shal Shagalim, the time that a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash bring his karbanos, so the person took a ned there in the middle of the ear to bring a korban, so he has to re-regal him until he brings that korban. If he doesn't bring the korban with him to re-regal him, then he's in violation of the Yisra D'Raisa about the Acher. So the Gemara says on that pasuk in Parashas Kisei, it's a kasher adarta v'ashir l'kech v'adav v'ashir v'ibarta b'ficha. So the Gemara says b'ficha zu tzedaka. B'ficha comes to include that even non-korbanos. The context of the pasuk is obviously talking about bringing a korban, but the Tosha Mapeh explains that b'ficha, that also means tzedaka. Tzedaka is also a binding. So that's a shayla. So does that mean that the only way that tzedaka can be chal is b'ficha? What does that mean? No, that's the normal way of being mafra tzedaka, the normal way of dedicating money to give for the zakah is usually a person's motzi b'fir, so it's unclear in the poskim whether that din of b'ficha means that tzedakah is only b'fir, or even b'machshav tzedakah can be chal. So that's a shayal halacha. If a person is chayav in tzedakah, either b'fir or b'machshav, he's not supposed to give it right away. When it comes to tzedakah, the Gemara says you don't have to shalosh regalim. Shalosh regalim makes sense for karbanas because the guy lives in a lot, so how can you expect him? He's going to come to Shalayim every day. The Torah understood he's not coming so fast. He's not coming to Shal Shogalim, so the Torah gives him a little bit of a window before he violates the Yisra Bat Yacher. When it comes to Tzedakah, what does Tzedakah have to do with Shal Shogalim? Aniyim are in front of him. There. Aniyim in a lot also. So the Gemara says that when it comes to Tzedakah, he's overly alter. So he violates the din of Bat Yacher immediately. So the person should be very, very careful. If they took a net, they took a tzedakah, they should not give the money right away. Should be a shalom, and this is the rice about the yachid. The person should always get into the habit of not being motzi a net in the fifth. That's why the gaboim. We always recommend the gaboim to say, complete nether. The guy says, otherwise, the guy gets an alihid. So it says, avosh another. Nah, amish another. So he promises, he takes a net that he's going to give tzedakah, he's going to give money to the shul, he's going to give money to the amim, the money to the yeshiva. So that would be binding as the nether of tzedakah, and then he would be number one. If he forgets to give it, he'd be violation about Yachel, and number two, if he delays in giving it, he may be in violation about the Yacher. So we don't want to get into any shilas, any of the Darm shilas. I remember inside the story, there was a certain Mishloach came to a shul, and he asked, could he make an appeal or something? So they let him get up and speak. So he gave a whole riled up thing about his organization. And at the end, he says, and now everybody together, everybody should be made there, be makabel upon themselves to give $100 to my cause, and let us all say together, amen. So the rabbi at the time, the Gemara says that, call the owner amen, achar neder is kilo motzi neder b'fif nami. If a person answers amen, and somebody takes a neder, and you're on the half, it's as if you took the neder. So the rabbi stopped him. I remember he said, nobody answer. Don't answer. He answers amen, and everyone's mechuyim in that Torah. They give this guy $100. Maybe he's a valid cause, maybe he's not. I'd be very weary for a guy who comes into the shul and makes such an appeal. So be careful. So you should show again that I have not to say the darum. There's another area of halacha which may be chal the machshava also, and that's in the realm of a tainus. The Gemara speaks about a maseches tainus, and then the principle of kabbalah is tainus. The person wants to accept upon themselves a private fast day, so we have to be makabel a tainus b'shas mincha. You have to accept the tainus from the day before. You, when it comes to a tainus tzibur, we assume there's no requirement to makabel tainus. It's understood of everyone's fasting, so of course that's not makabel tainus. But when the person has a private tainus, they have to makabel the tainus beforehand. So the Rishonim have a question: What type of a kabbalah tainus is necessary? So some Rishonim say that a kabbalah tainus need not be verbalized. Although the person was planning that the day before, he's going to fast the next day. So a tainus is chav machshava also. How is that? How can tainus be chav machshava? Tainus is a type of a neder. So some Rishonim say that it's like a korban. It's like we say at the end of the tainus yachid. Usually most people don't say this in the tainus tibur, but at the end of the tainus yachid, so there's a little phrase in the siddur that says, you should say that this tithe should be accepted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the meal chalpi v'dami ala mizbeach. It's as if I brought part of my body. I lost some fat. I lost some blood today that I'm not eating. So that should be accepted by the emotion like a korban. So some say that mamish means that the tithe is like a shtipo korban. It's like you bring the korban to the emotion. So when it comes to korbanos, the Gemara is after apostolic, you don't need a dibor. Even makshav is good enough. Some suggest that maybe that's the void by a tainus. Maybe a tainus tibur doesn't require a kabbalah b'peh. Maybe a kabbalah b'machshav would be good as well. So again, the ikar din, the original din, Merachat Machshava, Truma, Chala, and Korbanos, whether this starts to extend over to the realm of Tzedakah, as it starts to extend over to the realm of tiny Yos. So that's a questionable. Then you have another question about maybe this idea that something can be Chava Machshava extends into the realm of Nidre and Mitzvah as well. The word Neder means different things. The beginning of Maseches Nedar, the opening round of Nedar, points out that the word Neder means two different things in Halacha. There are Nidre Isra and Nidre Mitzvah. Nidre Isra means that the person took a Neder that this fruit should be also to him. That's Nidre Isra. That's what 99% of Maseches Nedar deals with. Then Nidre Mitzvah, Nidre Gavoa means the person took a nether, he's going to give something to the base of Mikdash. He took a nether, he's going to do something. So that's a different kind of a nether. So there are some Mishnayim who say that just as Nidre Hekdesh, the person promises to give something to the base of Mikdash, to be a carbon, to give better kabbalah, etc., he need not express it, even the Machshav is called. That's the Xeris Akasim that appears in Shmuel's Chavavah B'Alev. The same would be true for all Nidre mitzvahs. Let's say a person makes a statement that he's going to do a certain mitzvah. So the Gemara says in the beginning of the Dharam that if a person makes a statement that he's going to do a mitzvah, he has to do that mitzvah. It's like a nether gol, another look at Israel, the Gemara says. If a person says, he's going to learn all about Mitzvah, every Gemara, Asher Taisis, I'm going to learn it. So then he has to do it. That's Chal al Mitzvah's nether. So he should always say, believe nether. So some person say, not only if he says it, but if he's going to believe, I really, really plans, I'm going to finish all of the Sech, the Mitzvah, that. Most of the time we have these like fleeing thoughts, I'm going to finish all Shas, I'm going to finish all of this, I'm going to finish all that. You know, sure that's not. But maybe you guys are not. A lot of great plans. So some person can say, if you really, really don't believe it, do a certain mitzvah, you have bound to do that mitzvah. And others say it's not true. Others say that din of gon believer is only the hekdesh, maybe tzedakah, tainess, and doesn't apply to regular mitzvahs. So we try to be machmir in this. That's why we in our hataras nedarim, we do it every Rosh Hashanah. So we want to cover ourselves with that hataras nedarim. So we throw in this line that says, if I tried any she gavati believi lasso she mitzvah bin a mitzvahs, hein makitim chayim tmona, all this all-encompassing statement just to cover ourselves on all bases. So again, according to many, that statement wouldn't be necessary, but according to others, it would be necessary. So once you try to get into the habit, when one speaks about doing mitzvahs, one should for sure get into the habit of not saying without lashon neder. And even when one thinks, one really, really has a really plan to do a certain mitzvah, learn a certain thing, so why don't you try to always have in mind, not absolutely, a kabbalah is an absolute neder, shouldn't be binding, as it says. Penekoshel, chas v'shol, b'yavu nedarim, you don't want to get involved in this area of halacha. This whole area of halacha that I was speaking about, that a person can basically take something that was not asked beforehand, or something that he wasn't chayv in beforehand, and create new chiyuvim, create new isurim. So we find this in the realm of nedarim, we find it in shavuos, we find it in nezirus, we find it in hekdeshes, and shavuos, in all these areas of halacha, that you are basically calling the shots. Chazir is something that the Torah created. Here, all these different chalosim, a chalosim that a human being creates. Some of them are mamash done b'divur, some of them you can get away even with machshava. But there's a common denominator between all these things, that basically the person, the human being, who's creating a certain change in halacha. All these halachas usually lumped together is called the halachas of hafla'a. The word hafli means to be farsh b'svasa. But we use the term hafla'a, including all these kinds of halachas, both those that are chav adibra, those that are chav machshava, are all nyan of hafla'a. When it comes to the Inyan of Haflah, so we find two chidushim in Halacha, which really demarcate Inyan of Haflah from many, many other areas of Halacha. One is the concept of Hataras Nedarim. We were just talking about this yesterday morning this year. Hataras Nedarim, that the Halacha Moshe Mitzvah teaches us that in the realm of Nedarim and Shavuos, Nazirus, these kinds of things, so the person, even though he made a statement, and now he feels bad about what he said, he wants to back out, so he can go to a Beis Din, and the Beis Din can be mocked in Neder. And again, we're not going to go through all the Hilchos Hataras Nedarim, but that special Chiddush HaTorah of Hataras Nedarim and Shavuos and Nazirus, etc., that applies to these areas of Halacha. It doesn't apply. The guy's going to go, he wants to be mocked in the Chazer, he's going to be mocked in the Orem, he's got Orem in front of him, he wants to go to a Beis Din and say, Mutmach, it's honest. You can only say, Mutmach, you're only mocked for something if you were the one who created the Yisra. So, all these areas, there's a concept of Hataras Nedarim. Even in the realm of Truma, say the person with Mafish Truma, and then for some reason he feels bad that he was Mafish the Truma. he wants to cancel that fresh's truma. So he goes to the Beis Din, and they can do a Taras Dharma on the truma as well. But that just makes all the fruit back to being Tamil, so he's got to start all over again. So why would a Meshuggah never want to do that? So we do that every once in a while. We've had the Shaila once in a while. Say a woman is being Mafish Chala, and she separates the dough for Chala, and then she walks out of the room, kids come, start playing with the dough gets mixed up into the rest of the dough. So now Gaval, now you got to... And I got some challah which you're not allowed to eat mixed in with the regular dough. So what do you do? So Poskim says, the only thing you can do is you can not the nether, you can be go to a basin and do a taras the dharma, not fresh as challah. Because the Gemara said, in favor, you can do a taras the dharma, not fresh as truma. Because truma is a type of needing to have flaw. Even though it's a kind of a flaw, it's not chabadim, it's a little bit of a contradiction in terms. Because the technical word hafla means, well, the first befiv, the svasav. So even though truma and challah are chal, not befiv, but they still called the meeting that flaw that is subject to the din of a Taras Nadar. Or let's say there's another din where it separates all these areas of halacha from other areas in terms of katana. We know that usually a kotan is a lambar das, can't affect the kinyan, can't make kedushin. Yeah, the whole concept of chalosim don't apply for katanim. And the din of a kotan, he's still a kotan until he reaches the age of bar mitzvah or grow up in bas mitzvah. That's true for all dini atar, with the exception of nadarim and shavuos and naziris. That if once a boy reaches what's called a mufla samach liyish, or a girl reaches the point of a mufla samach liyish, whatever you want to call it, so then their nadarim and shavuos and naziris can potentially be chal. What does that mean? If they're a year before being a gadol, so it's a machlokes rishon, what exactly that means, but we'll say that means when they're 12 or 11, respectively. If they're a year before their age of godless and kol tarakula, they can potentially take nadarim. If they understand what the nadarim are all about, if they're 12 and a half and they don't know what they're talking about, then it's not chal. But if they know what a nadarim and a nazirus, shavuos, they know what these things mean, so then they can potentially take these kinds of chalosim even before they're technically bar mitzvah. So machlokes rishon, machlokes in the Gemara, actually, is that a din in the Torah, a din in the Rabbanon, according to many rishon, it's not a din in the Torah. That's why when my kids turned 11, or my boy turns 12, and they were 11, so I told them to make a mesiras podah. In the same way we make an erev Rosh Hashanah, that any neder, any shvua that I take should be bottle, should be meaningless. So according to many rishon, that actually works, that saves us. So you should. When your boy reaches 12, we should tell him to make him a serious mandah. Because if he takes any nether in that period of time, so the nether may be chal. So you don't want to take a chance to wait till the first day of Rosh Hashanah. When he turns the 12th birthday, he should make him a serious mandah. When he turns 11, he should make him a serious mandah. And then you should instruct them. You should tell them that they shouldn't take it up. You should have to tell them to be careful. I told my kids, and they reached that age, and now's the time. They have to be, you know, little kids shift them out sometimes and say, okay, so I'm not the end of the world. The kid reaches 12, 11, the boy and girls, then the Nadarim and the Shavuos maybe become actually binding to many, even the Nadarim. People should try to train their kids properly in this area. So you have this whole area of halacha of law, which most of the time requires a dibur. Every once in a while, you get away without a dibur, and there are unique halachas that govern these areas of halacha of the Nadarim and the Shavuos, etc. There are other areas of halacha where we find that the dibur plays a major role, but unlike in Yom of Afla, the dibur is accompanying a maisa. So let's say, for example, kiddushin. So a man gives a ring to a woman, so the Gemara says, b'feirush of kiddushin, he has to say a rebbe kiddushin. So he has to have a dibur, he has to have a lashon, he has to say a lashon of kiddushin. Well, let's say a person gives a get to his wife, so it's not enough just to hand her a get, he has to say a re'at megureshin, raise a gite. He has to say a lashon that accompanies the giving of the get. So that's already a different kind of a dibur. That's not a dibur of the Dharma truest, that's a different kind of a dibur. That's a dibur that's necessary to accompany a nice and one for the chalos to be complete. The Gemara says the Farish, that if he gives a kesef and doesn't say a rebbe kodeshesli, he doesn't have to say those four words. He can say a rebbe ishti, a rebbe restlessly, a rebbe shali, or any lashon. That's the equivalent of the meaning of that. In Hebrew and English doesn't matter, but he has to say some kind of a lashon of kedushin. If not, then the kedushin are not binding. So what kind of halacha is that? Where did that din come from? Then you have to have a dibur to accompany a kedushin. It doesn't say that in Chumash. The Torah says ki ika cheshisha. The Torah says that. You have to give a ring, you have to give a kesef, kicha kicha mistei Ephraim. Where does it say that you have to have a dibur? That's a major machlekes in Rishonim. What's the role of dibur in those areas of halacha? We've seen dibur in Shmiras HaMitzvahs, we've seen dibur in the chalosim of hafla. Here you have dibur that accompanies the maisa. What's the nature of that? So some of the Rishonim say that dibur is a different type of a dibur. Really, what really creates the chalos of kedushin is the giving of the ring. Reuven gives Rachel a ring. How do you know it's a ring for a kiddush? How do you know it's a birthday present? How do you know it's a gift? How do you know it doesn't mean anything? The role of the dibur is just in the gala, just to reveal that this is done with Torah's kiddush. It's really a nice kiddush. It really is giving you the ring, giving you the kesef that creates the chalais of Eishes Ish. It's just that the dibur has to accompany the maisa, because if it doesn't accompany the maisa, then it's unclear what the context of the maisa was. And others seem to say, no, others say that the dibur is an absolute, that in order to be a kiyikach, kiyikach has two components to it. A kicha means a kicha de maisa, like Rashi says, the Rashi says, korach v'ikach, korach, kochoi, kochera b'dvarim, kach es alavim, that the word kicha sometimes means to convince somebody, to talk to somebody. So here when the Torah says kicha kishisha, that means he has to talk to her. It's not enough just to give her a ring. He's got to talk to her, he has to say a lashon of kiddushin. So that's a shaila, whether the din of dibur by kiddushin is actually an integral part of the chalos kiddushin, or the dibur is kind of secondary. The real chalos kiddushin is affected through a maisa. The role of the dibur is just to be megala what's going on. My nafkamina, at the end of the day, he has to say it. He doesn't say it, the kiddushin is in chal. So Rashi, at the beginning of the kiddushin, raises the issue, what would it be when it comes to kiddush eshtar? So kiddush eshtar, it says in the text of the document, Harem Kodesh is like, nobody does kiddush eshtar today. Our kiddush is always through kesef. But in theory, a person can write on a piece of paper, Harem Kodesh, and hand it her, and that would be a kiddush. So Rashi raises the issue, must he say Harem Kodesh is like, when he hands her the shtar? What's the din? So Rashi, in the text of Rashi that we have in our Gemara, so Rashi has that when you makanish yishiv shtar, there's no need to say Harem Kodesh is like. Whereas Rashi, as appears in the Rif, there was a different madur of Rashi. Rashi in the Rif says that even when you makadosh nishu b'shtar, you have to say a rebbe kodesh. So what's the shaila? So the Achronim explained that the 2 days in Rashi, the two different possibilities Rashi is presenting, are really two sides of this question. What's the role of dibur? If the role of dibur is just to explain what's going on, nobody should think he's giving her a gift. That's true when he gives her a ring, but when he gives her a document that says black and white, Harem Kodeshli, it's kind of hard to explain that away as being a birthday card. Obviously, he just wrote Harem Kodeshli. So what does he need Dibur for? And the whole role of the Dibur is just to be Megala to what the Kavanah is, so it's clear as day what his Kavanah is. But if you say no, that didn't, Kach Nehmer Lachor says, I didn't have Dibur, it's got to be on Dibur, and if the Dibur doesn't come from the Chosin to the Kaal at the time of the condition, so that's not called the Kicha, the marriage is not binding. So then that would be true, not only by Kiddush Kesef, that would be true by Kiddush Shtar as well.
No, Kiddush
Shabbat, for sure. Kiddush Shabbat, for sure you need Dibur, because otherwise, maybe it should be as Nus, you can't tell what to be. Right. You still need Dibur. Right. I think so, yeah. But so come to Yechvarim and say, we can bring a raya from a Gemara in the beginning of the Kiddush. The Gemara says that, let's say you have a chosin and kala, the asuke bais inyan, they're schmoozing about getting married. So they're talking about where they're going to live, they're talking about, you know, what they're going to do, where their apartment, talking about everything, all in young the Kiddush. Then all of a sudden he gets up and hands her a ring. So the Gemara says, ain't tzachal fash. Then there's no need for him to say her in Mukadesh's league. So some of the Yechvarim say, you see from here, Rosh Hashanah, that you don't really need intrinsically dibur. There's no objective in a dibur. The role of dibur is just to make sure that we know what's going on. So here, we know what's going on. It's a sugya miyos alinyan. We're talking about getting married. Everybody realizes he's giving her a ring with her kiddushin. So isn't this Gemara a proof positive that there's no absolute requirement of dibur? So which other Rachamim say, that's not a proof of anything. So that this, those words that he's saying, it doesn't say in the Chumash you have to say the magic words Harem Kodesh. Anything that you say that speaks about a yearly marriage is good enough. So when he says, okay, so I understand we're now going to be in the following apartment, then I'm going to, you know, support you, and he's talking about all kinds of yearly Kodesh, and then he gives a ring. So that was Kodesh, that was a Lashon Kodesh. There's no magic formula with the words after me. Anything that's Mashmos of Kodesh, any nuance of Kodesh, that's called the Dibur. So it could be that you do require a Dibur, it's just that it doesn't have to be the magic words of Kodesh. My nafkamina, I mean, let's say he's not doing the talking. Let's say you have, there are eight people, six people in the room, two sets of parents, and the chosin kala. We're all sitting around the table, and the two sides of parents, they're negotiating. I'm giving this, and you're giving this, and we're splitting this, and the chosin kala sitting there quiet, not a word out of the chosin. And at the end of the discussion, he picks up a ring and puts it on her finger. Eight people in the room, two or eight in the room. So he puts a ring on her finger. Is that good or is that no good? So it's machlokes and took yourself to the Mordechai. Is that good or not? What's the shaila? If you hold that, you don't really need dibur. The whole role of the dibur is just to make sure that we know what's going on. Here it's obvious we know what's going on. But if you tell me no, that dibur is necessary, The only reason why a sukkah be also linear is good enough is because that counts the dibur. It counts the dibur. If he's the guy who's doing the dibur, if his father's doing the dibur, it doesn't count the dibur. So he has to say something. He's got to open up his mouth and put in his 2 cents. That's probably all he's got to put down on the table. So the fact that the parents are schmoozing and they're negotiating, that's not a dibur. So that's a further question. That's a big question. Is there a din dibur or not a din dibur? So one of the rayas, one of the famous rayas that's brought to the Shaila about is there a din dibur, is it not a din dibur? Is the dibur just in Megala? Do it. So the Baruch Ber quotes a raya, and he's Rashi Chaim, he quotes in the beginning of the Maseches Kedushin that the Gemara in Maseches Kedushin discusses the sugya of Yadayim, the sugya of Yados, when it comes to Kedushin as well. Just as it did by Nazirus, that a guy can say Hareini, and maybe becomes a Nazir, he can say something, maybe the Nether, the Shulchan Aruch. So the Gemara raises that question for Kedushin as well. If a person says something, a little bit of a half-baked statement, can we finish off his words or not? So comes Reb Chaim, comes Reb Baruch Ber, and say, that din of finishing off a person's words, that's assuming it's a din deeper. That's like Zeres HaKos, a din Hukas deeper. So if you tell me that the role of deeper by condition is not a real din, deeper by condition is just a way to figure out what the facts are, so how does that, the Zeres HaKos, the Halacha Rosh Mitzvah, the others, how does that apply to condition? What's the Shaykh is the condition? And Zeres HaKos, a din deeper. It's got to be a din of deeper. And a din of deeper, then you can perhaps compare it to the Nadar. So that's an open question. We learn the din of condition. It's one of the big Shaykhs that went to all the Rashi was people about this farm. What's the nature of Dibur? So I hope when you find in Halacha that Dibur, not only in the realm of mitzvahs, but Dibur in the realm of chalosim is so critical, but not all Dibur's are the same. Sometimes Dibur is an absolute necessity in certain areas of a flaw. Sometimes going to believe is good enough. And sometimes you have other areas of Halacha where it's unclear, although Dibur is necessary, it's unclear what the role of Dibur is going to be. So, let's continue a little bit more about this Dibur. Not a little more crack Dibur. Okay.
Related to the evil, which is what we're saying. We took the shmuel, but